accessible year-round, which invite tourists to visit the resort in all seasons. And so that's helpful for the community. And the staff has no recommended conditions for these phases. Happy to take any questions the Planning Commission has regarding this proposal. We also have Chuck Heath, owner of the property here, and we have Alberg Engineering for the property here.
Paul, Chuck, do you want to add anything for the moment?
No, just answering the question. I will say one thing, though. Our open space is legally open space forever.
Thank you.
Permanent.
I just have a couple of comments. More related to last month's just really fun meeting. So sometimes when people come to me and say, hey, could I do this? You know, I'll refer to the code, and the resort ordinance allowed greater heights. Now, I know there was an agreement, and we discussed that, but I'm just saying that, you know, it's not unreasonable for somebody to ask for something that meets the code. And then also, you know, we also relied some on the Vision and Architecture Committee. The motion was motion made by Rob Ballas to recommend approval of the applicant's request to increase the height of the well-being center due to the reported site conditions, with the recommendation that the applicant break up the northernmost facade so that the wall is not so massive and unchanging and expansive, and submit such design to the VAC before going to the City Council, seconded by Diane Glenn, unanimously approved. The only reason I'm saying this is, I mean, I don't want you to think that, oh, we're trying to reinvent the wheel, circumvent city codes. I mean, when people come to me, I do look at those things. This is a unique case where there was an agreement in place, but didn't think it was unreasonable to come and ask that we raise the building still within city code. That's all.
Okay, no one has ever accused you of being unreasonable, Paul.
Never.
Never. Okay, any questions? Do I hear a motion?
I need to turn the lights back on. So
I have a question. I have a question just for Chuck. This isn't exactly relevant to this proposal. I think it's great. I think it looks cool. This is going to be a great addition to what we have going. Just curious, comparing this to the last one, I brought it up about trails. Do you have any idea of how much the length of improved trails you have on your property? I would like to know for myself as a percentage of the property itself in relation to the homestead that has, you know, and just what they're doing for future reference.
We have the one north to south trail is probably what, 1,200, 1,500 feet? I think from one end of the property to the other,
it's closer to a quarter mile.
And by the time you get to the... Plus, we put in the trail already next to Lacey Lane, which is probably another 800 to 1,000 feet.
So, and Chuck, you also for this trail along River Road.
Right.
So this one was part of Chuck.
That's right.
Also,
and
this one here.
And the trail is a side project, so...
I feel like I didn't want to misstate, but I having reviewed this project from the inception, I've noted that there's an abundance of trails, which is fantastic. I'm in favor of holding Homestead's feet to the fire. Thank you for your trails.
Well, we believe in the trails just as much as you do, so that's an easy ask.
Thank you.
Okay. If no questions, any motions?
Sure, I'll make a motion that we recommend approval for the Midway Mountain Spa preliminary application for phases 2, 3, and 4 of the Amiali Resort on 28.87 acres. The preliminary plan includes 23 cottages, 80 hotel units, and the Chopra House of Enlightenment, and a well-being center, which includes restaurants, spa, event center, etc. The property is located at approximately 800 North, 200 East, and is in the resort zone, and recommend that we include any of the staff findings and possible findings in that. Do you need me to read out the findings, or can you just
no,
pull them?
No, okay. You got them.
Okay,
you
thank
got
you.
Them. Okay. Second?
I'll second that.
Okay. We've got a second. All those in favor, starting with Laura?
Aye.
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 Okay, it passes.
Thank you.
Okay, item number four, Whispering Creek subdivision. Paul Berg, representative for Carrie Lane LLC and Jeremy Clark, has submitted a preliminary application for a large-scale subdivision to be known as Whispering Creek subdivision. Preliminary plan includes seven lots on 4.54 acres, properties in the R115 zone at approximately 515 West Carrie Lane. Michael, can we have the staff report?
Yes. So Whispering Creek Estates, I think some of you may have been on the Planning Commission back in 2020 when we first reviewed this. There were some issues that were brought up that since the Planning Commission reviewed it, really the item was put on hold until some of those issues were worked out. So they have been able to address those issues, and we'll go over in detail what that means. But they've really, now they've resubmitted a plan and they've changed the layout a bit, but it's still seven lots like we looked at before. And again, this would be for preliminary approval. So land use summary, 4.54 acres. It's in the R-1-15 zone, which is a third acre zone, minimum lot size. Seven lots are included within this proposal. There are sensitive lands on site, which include FEMA floodplain and also wetlands. And there is a wetland study that I included in your staff report that shows specifically where those wetlands are located, also where the FEMA floodplain is located. Cost per subdivision is included entirely within this plat. So basically, they're asking to vacate the cost per subdivision. It's a one-lot subdivision. And all of that property be included within the Whispering Creek subdivision. There's also one existing dwelling. There was water dedicated for the cost per subdivision, so we've included that in the water calculation. And then there's one existing dwelling that was outside the cost per subdivision that's been credited also, so I'll go over that when we look at the water board recommendation. So this scenario photograph of Midway, you can see Main Street here in the center of the map. We've got Bergie Lane to the north. You can see this outline properties where Whispering Creek is located along Carrie Lane. There's a closer neighborhood view in Pine Canyon over here on the right, Carrie Lane to the north, and Homestead Drive to the west. Surrounding uses, it's really undeveloped property owned by Mr. Kimball over to the west. We've got a couple of subdivisions over to the right, and then the golf course, which is the 19.49 acres that we were discussing in our first item, is bordering this property to the south. Closer view. There is one home on site located here. The cost per subdivision was kind of the front area of this property, and there was never a home built on the cost per subdivision. There's several outbuildings located on the property that will be removed. We do have Snake Creek that runs through the property, and so there is a FEMA floodplain that covers the property. We do restrict development within the FEMA floodplain. Any property owners cannot bring in any fill or rocks. They can basically irrigate the property and plant trees, but they can't change the topography at all within that area. And that's an important item. Outside the FEMA floodplain, there's a 50-foot setback that's required as part of our code. They have kind of a buffer around the FEMA floodplain. Also on site, there is some wetlands that have been delineated, and the Army Corps will need to, review that and approve those. But those are mostly located kind of over in this area on the left-hand side. Some of the reasons why this was delayed is there was some work done within the FEMA floodplain and within some of the wetland areas that really was unknown to staff until we had the public hearing. And then those issues were brought out through the public hearing that the creek had been modified. So over the past couple of years, experts have been contracted to come in and restore the wetlands and restore the floodplain back to its natural state. And so those, we do have a number of documents that have been submitted that I'll go over regarding those issues. Here's a copy of the existing conditions. North is over here on the right, so this is Cary Lane. So the cul-de-sac coming down the property would be from the north. This shows wetlands over in this, this would be the southwest corner. And then you can see the FEMA floodplain, which is the blue area. And so that's a zone AE according to FEMA. There's also a 500-year floodplain that covers some of the property. The 500-year floodplain isn't regulated, but it is kind of advisory that there's a chance that that area could flood in the future. But again, a 500-year flood is not a very high percent chance. What is regulated by FEMA and by the city is the 100-year floodplain, and that's what's in blue. Here is the site plan of the proposal for the subdivision. So there's an intersection coming in from Cary Lane. It squares up with the most westerly entryway into the lodges of Snake Creek to the north. There's some common area located on both sides of the entryway. And then the cul-de-sac comes in and accesses the seven lots. The existing home is located, and I want to say that's maybe lot number two. So that home is really non-conforming regarding the 50-foot setback in the floodplain. If that home is ever torn down and a new home is built, it would have to be within this building pad area to meet the code. Now, they could add on to the existing home, but any addition would have to be within the building pad. So there's six lots that are fairly easily accessible from the cul-de-sac. This one lot on the end, it's kind of difficult to see, but you can see it crosses the creek, comes all the way down. It meets the frontage requirements and the acreage requirements. The detention pond for the storm drain system is actually located on this lot here, so there'll be an easement for access for that. Regarding the lot across the creek, this requires a vehicular bridge, and there's special requirements that are needed for that. So stream alteration permit is required that basically states the stream is not going to be altered or destroyed anywhere where erosion happens. It needs to be restored back. There's also a zero rise analysis showing that the installation of a bridge will not impact the floodplain. So those documents have been submitted to the city. And what we would like to see is that this bridge is built by the developer if that were to happen. It becomes much more complicated if a lot is sold in it, and a property owner needs to come in and build a bridge and they don't know the process that needs to happen.
Or the cost.
So we're making it at least a proposed condition that that bridge is required to be built by the developer. And the developer really has agreed to do that. So we would include that in any bonding that's required to have that bridge bonded for. And so, again, it would be the developer's responsibility.
And the developer building that bridge, like you said, it's not an issue.
Yeah, it's not an issue. They're not saying they won't do that. They're agreeable to doing that. There will be a homeowners association that will need to be formed because there is some common area that will need to be landscaped. But the road will be a public road since it's a standard subdivision. This is a utility plan. Some of the things to take note of is we have a home over here just off Cary Lane to the north. And I'll go back to the other plan, but the lateral for the sewer lateral, it's a private lateral. It's not part of Midway Sanitation District's lines that they maintain. It does cut through these lots and it will need to be realigned. There'll be a new sewer main that will run down the road. I think we may have the property owner for that home here. Am I wrong with that? Maybe not. And a number of years ago, he came in and made us aware of that issue. So that will be taken care of. There is a main sewer line that comes down Snake Creek, and the sewer system will connect into that sewer line, so that'll have to be noted on the plat also in the future. This shows a closer view. This is the landscaping plan for that common area. There are street trees required in this development, so those will need to be planted. So regarding some of the submitted documents to cover the different issues regarding the floodplain and also the wetlands and also building the bridge for